looking for that little microphone.
And I had help just like that. And within 5 minutes, it was off my ear and in the second row. So you guys stay awake. It could be... There he is. I see him right there. Fred's going, save me. It's a Barnabas. Oh, there's another Barnabas. See, I see him with his grandkids. There's another Barnabas. Oh, wait a minute. There's another Barnabas right there. I can listen to her talk about Jesus all day long. So there, this thing's a little weird. So... See, I need saved. What is a... Is that all right? Looks pretty good. It's not in the second row yet? Okay. What is a Barnabas? Yeah, there's three main things. Number one, Acts 4, 36 and 37. It says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas. Now, why in the world would the apostles call him Barnabas? It means son of encouragement. He sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So the first thing we know about a Barnabas is he's an encourager. I taught special ed for a long time. And I had a boy. And mom came to me and said, would you please teach him how to pull up his pants and zip them? Anyway, so encourage them. Let me help you here a little bit. You're doing a great job, but you might want to stand up. Okay, look at you. You're doing a great job, but you might want to pull the pants up first because he's walking around like this. Okay, so... And it took 2.5 years of encouraging to have this young man be able to do that. But now he can go to McDonald's and go to the bathroom and come out without his pants down. So, I mean, but that's the encouraging. Be an encourager. Barnabas was an encourager. He took, now it says he was a Levite, which means he cannot own land in the Holy Land, right? But he was from Cyprus. So he probably sold land that he had from Cyprus and encouraged the people by saying, here's some land. I sold it. Here's the money. So number one, Barnabas was an encourager. Number two, just one person. That means this lady here, one person can make a difference in a person's life. Yeah? Yes. One person. There's a person that can make a difference in your life. One. One. Can make a... he works with all these Awana kids. He's making a difference in kids' lives. One person. Although he has a bunch of helpers, but he can do that. One person. One. So you had an encourager. You're doing a good job. Not a downer kind of person, but an encourager. You're doing a good job. Nice job. And then in Acts 9, it talks about Barnabas. One person made a difference. Now there was this guy by the name of Paul. And what was he doing? He was going around butchering people. let me hold your clothes while you stone him to death. Right? That was Paul. I'm going to put you in jail. That was Paul. Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Oh, you go to jail. See, that's how it worked. That's what... Now, so when Paul became a Christian, what did people do? Ah, Paul's coming into town. He's going to haul me away. They were scared. Barnabas, one guy, made a difference. And do you know what he did? This guy's not an idiot. This guy loves Jesus now. He can help us. One guy stood up and made a difference. That's in Acts 9:26. Acts 9:26 says, when he came to Jerusalem, this is Paul, he tried to join the disciples. They were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him. And now in Damascus, he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul, that's Paul, stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. And he was able to do that because of one man who made a difference. Again, teaching special ed, I'll give you an example of how one person can make a difference. I had a girl. She was about 12 years old. And she had one eye here and one eye here. She had a hump on her back. She walked like this. She'd move her head around, spit would fly everywhere. She tried to poke her eyes out with her fingers. I used to have, this is at communal school, I had 7th and 8th graders come to help, and no one would work with her. The cute little Downs kids they'd work with, the kids that were sweet and so forth they'd work with, but no one would work with her. There was a kid there, 8th grade, football. You know, he's the kind of kid that in 8th grade, he'd walk down the hall and all the girls would go, that's, okay. He asked if he could help. Usually it was always girls that helped, but this kid asked if he could help. And he went out and they had recess together. And he walked over, and this girl who's trying to poke her eyes out, walking like this, moving her head around, spit flying everywhere, he pushed her on the swing. And then he helped her off the swing. And he held her hand to take her to the lunchroom. You know what happened? All those kids now wanted to work with that girl. One kid made a difference. Another story, how a kid can make a difference. Same scenario, this guy, you know those, I think Luke's heard this story before. You know those push pin tacks that are about like this big, and you stick pictures on your wall and stuff? This kid was a preschooler, like 4 years old, and he was in preschool, and he saw one of those tacks, and it was red and pretty on the floor. And do you know what he did with it? Got stuck, closed off his airway. By the time the paramedics got there, this little four-year-old was like what people used to call a vegetable, which I never call a person a vegetable, but that's what they used to do in those days. I end up with him. He was about 14. He was tall, in a wheelchair. You had to feed him through a tube in his belly. And this girl, and no one, again, no one would work with him. And this girl came up to me and said, "Hey, I got an idea." She was 13. "I got an idea. We're going to," it could, basically paraphrasing her, it could change his life. I says, "Well, you want to tell it to me?" "No, I want to bring it tomorrow." And so as a teacher, I'm going, "Yeah, I don't know. Is that mm-hmm?" And so I said, "Okay, let me see it though before you use it, please." And so she said she would. Came in, opened the bag the next day, and in it was a bunch of flavors. Cinnamon, peppermint, all those things, lemon. And she had these, you know, these things you stick in your ear, swabs or whatever you call, what do you call those? Q-tips, thank you. Those eerie things. And she took that eerie thing and she put it in there. And so while we're feeding him through the tube, because he hasn't tasted food, hasn't had anything in his mouth since what? Since he was four. He's now, I don't know, must have been 12 or 13. And so while we're feeding him, she'd wipe it around in his mouth. And he, you could just see him starting to shake. One girl made a difference in this boy's life. We can make those kinds of differences. So Barnabas was what? Number one, an encourager. Number two, he, one person, can make a difference. She's going, "Oh no, here he comes." You can make a difference in a person's life. And here is the big one. Here is the big one. You can make a difference for all eternity in one person's life. You know that? You can make a difference for eternity in one person's life. How do you do that? She can make a difference in one person's life for all of eternity by telling her story, by sharing her faith. Yeah? Can make a difference in one person's life. Acts 14. So Barnabas was an encourager. One person make a difference. Acts 14, he told his story and shared his faith. Acts 14, 8. No. I got to find it again. Here it is. Let's start with 11. When the crowd saw Barnabas had done, when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, Paul they called Hermas because he was chief speaker. The priests of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles saw this, Barnabas and Paul heard this, and they tore their clothes and rushed out to the crowd shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We bring you the good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things and to the living God who made heaven and earth." So that's the third thing. Change people's lives by telling your story. I remember teaching at camp once. There was a kid, and we were trying to, it was a chapel, and they were talking about something in the Old Testament. And he was sitting out in front of the chapel in a chair, shaking his head.
holding it.
And I saw him there, and I said, "Are you okay?" And he says, "Yes, I'm okay." Now, there's high school camp. The kid's about 16. He says, "But I don't understand a word they're saying. They're talking about this and this and an Isaiah, Jeremiah thingy-dingy, and I don't understand it." And I said, "Well, let's go over to the office and we'll sit in front and look at the stars and just talk." And we talked. And now my wife won't let me ride one anymore, but in the old days, I used to love motorcycles. And he, 16-year-old, what did he love? We had something to talk about. So we started talking about motorcycles. And then I told him my story about how I found Jesus. And then I shared him the gospel. And what's the gospel? We say the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but it's very simple. The gospel is found in 1 Corinthians 15. When he says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you." This is Paul talking. "Which you received, on which you have taken your stand. By the gospel you are saved. I have received and passed on to you that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, that he was buried and that he was raised again on the third day according to Scripture." That is the gospel, and that's what I shared with him. Some of you are going, "I've heard the gospel. I know Jesus. Why do I have to? I've already heard this. Why are we talking about the gospel? Why is that important? I've been saved for 400 years. Why is that important?" Because it reminds you of the miracle of grace in your life and your eternal blessings. I remember listening to these preachers on the radio, and they're talking, "Oh, here comes the salvation message again. I've heard it a million times. I don't know as I want to hear it again." That is the whole thing. That's the whole thing. When you hear, there's salvation message, be a Barnabas. Encourage people. Instead of looking at this guy and saying, "That is the dumbest thing I ever saw." Encourage him. Say, "Wow, that was amazing." Now, it's okay to say, "But I think maybe we should do it the other way." But no, it's amazing. Encourage people. Two, you can make a difference in a person's life. "But I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too stupid. You can make a difference in a person's life. That's one, that's two, and three, share your story. "But I was saved at 3. Share your story. "But I was saved at 80. Share your story. That's the deal. That's the whole deal. Share your story. There was a kid. He was with a youth group, and he was a Barnabas. At this youth group, they invited all kinds of people, and they had one of these big screens like that thing up there. And they had somehow attached to it these pretend guitar-y things. And so when they played these guitars, looking at the screen, all these rock star kind of looking guys up there would also play the guitar. So when he's going bum bum bum, the guy up there's going bum bum bum. Okay? Now, in this youth group, there were a whole bunch of street kids, you know, kids just off the street coming in because they heard this fancy music. And then there were a bunch of Christian kids. Now I'm going to show you how this Barnabas worked. Since he was a 17-year-old senior in high school. Where'd all the street kids go? They're over here practicing their guitars, bum, 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 and looking at these people jumping up and down on the screen. Where are all the Christians? They're over here talking. Oh, did you see Mr. Susie Q the other day? So they're talking. And I was being there, I was wondering, how come all the Christian kids are over here in this, you know, about 20 of them? And how come all the street kids are over here, about, and there's no mingling? This senior in high school was watching that screen and seeing all these kids. I mean, in those days, street kids, you know, they didn't look like Christian kids. Surprise, surprise. Anyway, so he decides to leave the group and walk over to where these street kids are. And these are tough kids. They're pretty tough kids. And he was a piano player. So what he did was he took the guitar, and instead of doing the bum-ba-da-bum, he put it on his lap and played it like a piano. You know, because he knew chords. And so he'd go, and next thing you knew, all these rock stars, they were really rocking out. I mean, they were going, jumping, and all the street kids were going, how do you do that? And he's playing it like a piano. And then they start joining in with him. And he's going, good job, now push this one and push that one. And he started to encourage them. Push, and let's do it together now. And they're all of a sudden, some of these Christians, what are they doing? Ooh, that looks interesting. And so they start coming over. One kid is making a difference. He's encouraging the street kids. He's bringing other Christians over. And when they were done, he sat down and they drank Cokes and they ate cookies or whatever they had. And he started to talk to them. Hey, you know what? This Jesus guy's kind of interesting. He goes, yeah, let me have your knife. Thank you. It's pretty interesting. And so he goes, well, who is this Jesus guy? And he said, this Jesus guy, let me... Oh, good question. Let me tell you about this. And so he started talking to these street kids about Jesus. Pretty cool, huh? That kid was a Barnabas. That kid was a Barnabas. So, three things to be a Barnabas. Are you ready, Miss Barnabas? Here it comes. Number one is be an encourager. Number two, you. One person can. And number three, never, never, never turn off the gospel message and be done with it. Don't do it. Why? Because the gospel message is everything. It's everything. Romans 10, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. There's the gospel message. Always teach it. Always teach it. Let people know that Jesus is real and that he loves you and that there's nothing better. Is there anything better? Nothing better. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for Jesus. We are thankful, Lord, for the gospel message. Lord, help us to be Barnabases. Help us to encourage people. Help us to make a difference in this world and stand up for what we believe. Lord, help us to share our faith. If there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus, I pray that you will keep your eyes open, your heart open, because he is real. Ask him to be a part of your life. For those of us that kind of been running around in the world and acting stupid, Lord, I want to ask that we would be strong in you, return our lives to you, get serious about your word and about talking to you in prayer. And Lord, that we may be Barnabases and not afraid to stand up for what we believe. Lord, we give our lives to you, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd love to stay here for just a second. Mike, would you bring the team up? And Doug, you have kind of a special crowd here this morning.
A special crowd?
Yeah, your family.
They're all special crowds. Look at this guy, my special crowd. What special crowd?
just introduce the those that are related to you by blood.
My blood. Okay.
Or marriage.
Hey, brother. Yeah, this is my daughter Mary. She's my middle child. And my son Michael, he's my youngest child, and my oldest one, Jessica, is not here today. But they're helping me to pack and looking at the house for one last time and crying. No, they're not crying yet.
Good. I am glad that you have never been ashamed to share the gospel all the years that I've known you. And you've impacted hundreds of kids at camp. And what a blessing to have you here. What are you guys doing in Montana?
Who said fishing?
So you live next door to?
We live next door to Mary. Although when you say next door, it's not like, you know, it's, her house is way down there. And I'm working, doing a lot of things already out of the church there. Mm-hmm. And just started helping with youth group there. And
wonderful. Got some food ministry going on.
Got the food ministry already going on. Yep. Helping to teach a men's Bible study.
Good. Yep.
Just keep on keeping on until the Lord says, well, I'm not here anymore. That's the way it is.
That's right. Well, we're glad. So, Lord, I just pray for Doug and Jeannie and for their family. I thank you, God, for how they have impacted our lives. And I pray, Lord, I thank you for their sold out hearts to love you and serve you and to be used by you. They are making a difference and they are encouragers and they tell their story. And they're not asking us to do anything that they don't already do. And God, thank you for what you're doing through them and what you're doing through Pioneer Bible Church. We commit our lives to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good. Mike, would you lead us?
From earth to touch your heart and glory.
strong and mighty tower, your name is a shelter like no other. Your name is a nation singing louder. There's nothing has the power to save but your name is a strong and mighty. God, I just pray as we go forth this morning, Lord God, that we would just call out to you at all times, Lord God, that we would be ready and willing to share the good news, and we would be Barnabas, Lord, wherever we go. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. Now you can greet each other.